So once again, we are gathered here to provide a periodic update on all things North Bay Voice. I'm Bruce Robinson. Jake Bayless is here. And we have a special voice to join us, Michael Aparicio. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So let's give everyone the quick update, Jake. Where are we now?
The quick update. We're officially into week five. Week five, and the website is live. We have a cool feature that we're in the midst of testing out right now called One-Click Submit, where people can submit their content, their articles, their postings, their news items, their pictures, their audio, their video, you name it. They can post it and submit it to us to eventually go up onto the website and share with the community to a broader audience.
And Michael's here in part because he's our guinea pig of sorts.
It just so happens that Michael was one of the very first people this morning to submit an article, and I haven't had a chance to proofread it yet. I figured I'd leave that to the master editor, you, Bruce.
In my spare time.
not that what Michael writes needs very much editing in the first place. That's something I learned already. But thanks for coming, Michael.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, from your point as a submitter, a participant, and very interested outlook observer on all of this,
right?
How are we doing?
Well, more than anything else, I'm excited. I mean, the projects like this are great, and it's great to have a one-click submit that's so easy. You don't have to know anything about technology. You just type in there, couple little boxes, you click submit. There was that tricky thing at the bottom that asked for a security code. I had to remember a couple letters and a number.
The CAPTCHA box.
Right.
The thing that makes sure that we
make
don't
sure
have
it's not
some
an automaton or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think that was the most complicated part.
We should offer a little bit of props for Peter Furch, who is our web administrator, who put together that form for us. Lickety split. That was a very pleasant surprise in this last week or so.
And so, for people who are interested in getting in the queue, so to speak, what's the process? What are we going to do for the next submission?
Yeah, and that's kind of the interesting question. I think that's one of those things that we really have a whole lot of fleshing out left to do. You know, that's part of the reason why we invited Michael here, so that we can talk about some of those things. I'm sure he probably has the same sort of questions. What is our editorial process going to look like? Who is going to be a part of that, and how do we vet people, and how transparent it might or might not be? Those are all great questions. What do you want to know, Michael?
What do I want to know?
Yeah, well, we brought you here, I think. I invited you here because I know that you're full of questions. And great questions that really need to be aired out. And in the vacuum of space that Bruce and I are kind of operating to try and launch this right now, the outside perspective is really, really valuable.
To what degree are you going to just put something on the web and say, okay, people start submitting? To what degree are you going to be reaching out to the community? There are different ways to try to get submissions. You can just hope people submit them individually. And as you know, I've got certain ideas about reaching out to organizations. I think that's a great way for community news sites to reach out to organizations to get them to regularly submit things. If you guys have any thoughts about, about that, are you just going to have a submission page, or you're going to have a submission, I don't know, some sort of strategy?
It's a very interesting process when you have a shoestring budget, right?
Sure.
And that's really, I think, the heart of the matter is trying to do some fantastic things, but without the budget to have a full tilt boogie marketing campaign. And so really, I think the approach that we're having to take, and it, on some level, it's a choice, and I think it probably will work out just fine, is it's a viral thing. In other words, we want to create the platform. If we build it, they will come. We know that. I mean, you and I have been down the road. We've done this before. And I think that once we have something in place that's ready to take the onslaught, and we're getting very close now, that is something that people are going to talk about.
In that case, what I recommend, if you ask, if you're asking,
we want to know. We're asking
is reach out to people like me and maybe just develop an ad hoc outreach committee. That people like me are involved in the community to start doing things like going to different groups. You can get people like me doing things like going to Living Wage Coalition meetings and stuff like that, and say, hey, people, there's this great project that KRCB's got going, and this is its potential, and this is a role that you could play, and that's not something that you two need to be doing. It seems to me like you're probably at a stage where you start needing to think what's the role going to be for, community members and maybe an ad hoc outreach committee or something.
That is something that we've begun exploring a little bit, and so we're pretty much ad hocing the ad hoc part of it right now. And I think, too, the other piece of it, Jake, is an idea that we can begin to populate that, and by circulating word that that's there, perhaps inspire other people to join in the conversation and promulgate it beyond that.
Because there's so many submitters out there already. There are people doing great things.
Right.
I can just start dropping names, but say Ann Seeley for Concerned Citizens of Santa Rosa. She already writes these great things and sends them to people who are interested, and she deserves to have a broader audience. And part of it is reaching out to her and get her to submit things here. I mean, I can just go down the list.
Yes.
Dozens of people are already writing things.
And I think it doesn't take much more than people like us talking to all the people that we encounter, and it becomes exponentially an awareness out of that. And as people become getting the habit of looking at the North Bay Voice page to see what's there and spread the word, hopefully more than readership will ensue.
With one caveat, my experience has been is that for a lot of people, I think they're reluctant. They don't think that, and this I think is a problem for community news sites. It's common for people to think, well, that's something the news people do. That's what Bruce does, not me.
It's really hard to break a centuries old habit.
And what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, no, you're the submitter, and there's a reluctance, and so I think there has to be a type of convincing that has to occur, and it does help, I think, to actually go and reach out to them. There is this little switch you have to turn on.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we're starting to talk about in earnest now is now that the website is up, and now that we're literally just a few weeks away from having it ready to scale, ready to start accepting an onslaught. Now, I don't know necessarily that we're going to have an onslaught right at the get-go, but it will happen, and there will be a significant amount of traffic. And when that happens, we want to make sure that the other components, the high-touch part of that high-tech, high-touch duo is in place. And we are ready to start having some community forums and meetings and things like that. And I think now probably is a perfect time for us to start thinking about actually getting a schedule on and having that next community forum on sort of the media. What are the solutions? You started that discussion as the facilitator back in January. For the people who might be listening and don't know, Michael put together a community forum hosted at the JC on sort of the disparity of independent media of, by, and for
community-minded news.
Yeah. And that forum was a very well-attended one back in January, and I think it still left the question, well, what are we going to do now? And KRCB in the last 2 months has moved forward with this, and I think that there's, on some level, we have to go back to that community and report and say, here's what we've got. Now, I don't know necessarily that that's going to engender immediate buy-in. I hope it will, and I think that the selling points are tremendous, but we have to start doing that other part of the equation. It's not just a technology problem. This is a human problem. This is voices.
Exactly. What the way I like to look at it, and which this is a lesson we both learned from our past experience with the other Noble experiment we tried.
We're talking about the Empire Report.
Empire Report. From that experience, sorry to be vague, but what we learned eventually is not to just think of it as a technology experiment, but it really is about community, and technology is only a tool for the community, and you have to complement it with whatever other tools you have, and forums and events ended up being a very important part of it. We ended up having a handful of them, and they really complemented each other. When you do things like have events, it complements the technology, and the technology complements them. And it's a good way to actually promote community media, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm not sure what that would look like for this project. But
well, you know, I think that community media is a mislabel on some levels, right? Because it's about community and information and lifelong learning and quality of life and and knowing your neighbors and what's available and things to do and news too, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly issues.
We're talking about a media-rich environment that includes far more than traditional media, print, television, radio, magazines, T-shirts, bumper stickers, buttons on your lapel. Advertising is omnipresent. What I heard on today, they're talking about putting it on school buses, was a report on NPR this morning. So we live in a media-saturated environment, and trying to define what portion of that is relevant to us in our individual communities is a challenge, and perhaps that's where the North Bay Voice Project can begin to be kind of a magnetizing point for that sort of stuff to collect.
It's all of that information is part of the ecosystem, right? It's one big thriving information monster, and I can hear myself.
Not anymore.
And the ecosystem is something that we're at a point right now where we're living in kind of a luxury. The luxury is that the economy is in the tank. Businesses are not investing in advertising as they had in the past. And so that gives us the opportunity to try and innovate and do new things. But one of the things that we're going to have to do a whole lot of catching up on in the very near future is how do we integrate the ma and pa businesses who are just as much a part of our neighborhoods and our communities and this thriving ecosystem of information as anybody else. How do we give them a way to advertise responsibly and easily and simply, because I think that that's something that they're yearning for. It just so happens that they don't have much of a budget for it right now. And people don't have a whole lot of budget to be spending money. But that's probably going to change in the not too distant future. And on some level, we're kind of banking on that.
And a similar problem or situation is the sources of the content happen to be changing, that it isn't just from news professionals any longer. Suddenly, you know, you can go on Facebook and Twitter, and your elected officials are directly engaging with the community that way as sources. You're getting educators like myself who are trying to be community journalists and doing things.
Yeah, right.
And you have people writing about their neighborhoods. And so this ecosystem, I mean, who's contributing to it is changing just as how they're contributing is changing.
You know, it's really interesting. As you were speaking there, talking about being an educator and starting to do, you know, get involved in doing some community journalism, it occurred to me that part of the reason that I originally approached you as somebody who might be interested in doing this kind of a project was because I wanted to see that the walls of the JC, you know, the ecosystem that lives inside the walls of the JC, and I mean that lightly, but the reality is that there is a big community happening right inside downtown Santa Rosa that some of the neighbors don't even know exists. And I think the same holds true for just about any other kind of entity around here. It's like there's a media silo at the JC. There's a media silo at Santa Rosa High School. There's a media silo all over the place. And I think that those walls are coming down because of the new technologies that are available by community journalism, by tweeting, by sharing things on Facebook and so forth. And I think, you know, it's great.
And that's part of what we're trying to do is to provide maybe a breach in those walls.
I think that this is the best way to do it. You know, it is part a technology problem. It's part trying to find a way to be more efficient about sharing information between people. And it just so happens that the internet is the cheapest and easiest and fastest way to do that. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we still have to have this kind of face-to-face interaction and,
right.
you know, discussions and real life, real world things. And, you know, I think in the last decade, we've kind of lost touch of that. I think everybody in our communities has been oohed and awed into the fascinating world that is on the internet and Facebook. And we, you know, we've been drawn away from that human interaction. I think now is the part where everybody's having that self-realization that, no, it's a good tool, but it doesn't substitute real talk, real discussion, face-to-face interaction.
I would submit that in some ways it's supplanted television, that people have gone to the internet and they can direct what their intake is, but it's still a pretty passive observational kind of thing. You pick this channel, we pick that channel, but it's not participatory. The next step then is to pick what you want to interact with, and we're in the process of creating a venue where some of those options will be close to home.
And exactly. That last expression was my what triggered the point I wanted to address, is that that's what I like about hyper-local websites. It's a way of using online media to actually focus on things that you can go out and see, and you can go out and touch, and people you can go out and meet. And so it doesn't have to be limited to the online experience. The online experience can actually complement the face-to-face experience.
You mentioned a little while ago the mom and pop advertisers, and one of the local entities that's trying to provide some collective leverage for them is Go Local. And in the coming week here at KRCB, we're going to meet with the people from Go Local and see what the opportunities for synergistic working together with them might be, both in the North Bay Voice Project and then the other endeavors of KRCB. And that's probably something we can report back on this conversation next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on, Michael, that questions or what's next?
Well, I was just going to say, what's next?
Yeah, and, that's kind of what's you know.
Let's stay talking, and let's you know, we need you guys to succeed, and we're here to help.
Well, we want to thank everyone for listening in. We look forward to your increased participation as the opportunities for that are more and more tooled up.
Don't forget, it's northbayvoice.org, and you can find us on Twitter at northbayvoice.
And that submit button is actually working now.
Go for it. Press it.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.